I used to let white folks have it, man, just right out the gate, just, you know. Let me tell you something. Your pathological greed and compulsive need for control has been the single most source of pain and misery for people of color throughout this world for generations. But I try not to say things like that anymore. Because I found once you have said something like that to a white person, you almost never get a second date. You know what I mean?
That's Dwayne Kennedy. He's a stand-up comedian, actor, and writer. Fellow comedians like Chris Rock and Marc Maron have hailed Dwayne's provocative, smart sense of humor. He's probably best known for his work on the critically acclaimed TV shows Totally Biased with W. Kamau Bell and United Shades of America. Dwayne even won an Emmy for his work with Bell on United Shades. After over 30 years in stand-up, Dwayne has released his first full-length comedy album, Who the Hell is Dwayne Kennedy? We zoomed in with Dwayne to find out who exactly he is and why he waited so long to release his debut comedy album.
Because I'm slow. well, I had tried to do one a number of years ago and just I didn't like it. You know, like people hear this all the time. And you listen to it, it's like, oh, man, this isn't what I wanted. This isn't how I thought it would be, or it's not good enough. You know, I'm compulsive in that way. So, you know, but at some point you just feel like, man, I better do something, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I always record. Well, I recorded a lot of material with the intent of making an album. And like I said, at one point I actually tried, and then I didn't like it, and I just put it away.
And you're happy with this one though, right?
I think I am. Yeah.
Yeah, you should be.
We cool with white people calling us people of color, but if they call us colored people, we lose our minds. How did the white man slip that one past us? You know, the white man is tricky. Because you know he was out there field testing expressions, you know. Look at all these colored people. What? I'm sorry. People of color. All right then, just get it right. Just get it right.
Why do you think it is that black people find people of color acceptable but find the reverse of that phrase offensive?
You know, I think it's more a matter of taking control of something, you know, because we were assigned, I guess, that category, colored people. So it's the matter of, it really is just semantics, but, you know, it's like, you don't call me whatever you want to call me, I'll call me whatever I want to call me. So I guess the inversion of it is like you're first identifying people as people, you know? So I think, I mean, semantics, I guess, are crucial in that sense, you know, because first it's people. So you can, even if you shorten it, it would just be, oh, look at these people.
Yes, that's a very good point. You know? Yes. Yeah. Yes. One of my favorite routines on the album is Young Black Psychopath trying to make it. How did you come up with the idea for this one?
Well, the first observation was that, you know, it seemed like white folks, and I'm just seeing, you know, generalizing, that pretty much have the psychotic murderer, mass murderer, serial killer thing kind of locked down. But then if you look past, well, is it a racial thing? But also the fact that if white folks have access to most of the wealth, then maybe it's not just a racial thing. Maybe it's an economic thing.
I think it's also just having disposable income. You need that, I would assume, to be a good serial killer, to get all the requisite serial killing equipment that you need. You know, that's why if you ever notice, when serial killers get caught, they are a serial killer and then they have another job, I guess, to supply their serial killing. You know what I mean? The cat was a serial killer and also assistant manager at Quiznos. Or, you know, brother might want a serial kill, but he's not working. Like, hey, dog, I'ma kill everybody in the city, you know, till my bus pass run out.
the whole routine is great, but that especially just the way that you're able to attack income inequality within that whole premise is just really well done. You tackle so many issues in your comedy, race, religion, politics, and economics, to name a few. Are there any subjects that you are not willing to deal with in your stand-up?
No, I think nothing is off limits, and you know, nothing's taboo as long as it ends in funny. Mm-hmm. Then the audience makes their own judgment. I mean, you can, if it ends in funny, that's one thing, and then that as a comedian, you've done your job. But then there's a larger context where people will judge the material, whether it's funny or not. They would just judge it strictly on the content, you know. I don't care how many laughs you got. I don't like this topic. I don't like the way you did that. I don't like that you brought it up. So, you know, I don't know, man. I don't dismiss that. Mm-hmm. I go back and forth because sometimes you hear comedians say, hey, I'm a comedian. If you don't like it, that's on you. I guess to some degree that's true, but it doesn't make you unculpable for the things that you say, I think. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know,
yeah, very well said. Yeah, you're from Chicago and you still live there, and you have this routine called shooting season in Chicago. Does this routine get a different reaction in Chicago than it does in other cities?
Well, I tell you what, I had done it for a few years, and initially, I'm like in Chicago, you know, where I would put it this way, where I would do it at, it would be great. People would love it in Chicago and in the area. And, you know, like, you know, doing road gigs, whatever, in Michigan or, you know, just different states, people would be fine with it. But as time has gone by, people have become, I think, more sensitized to that.
I'm from Chicago. We don't know, you know. You've been to Chicago?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But you're here now because it's shooting season in Chicago. Right? She's like, yeah. I don't know what it is about the warm weather. Just bring the brothers out. Just, yeah. It's 79 degrees. I ain't seen you all winter, dog. How's your aunt? That's why sometimes, man, I'm glad when it becomes wintertime in Chicago and it be like 30 degrees below zero. You know what I mean? Because then all the gangsters got to go in the house, you know. You know, but at least now I can walk to the grocery store and get that wheat bread that I've had my eye on all summer.
You can still do it. It just depends on where. I mean, and which is always the case with audiences, you know. You know, you like would say, know your audience. So there's certain places I could do that bit and it would be go gangbusters. And there were some places you could do it and people would not have it, you know, they wouldn't be feeling it. Just not by nature of you joking about gun violence.
Mm-hmm. You clearly have a love of the absurd, and this comes through loud and clear in The Dog Don't Bite Unless and A Great Day for Football. How do you know when something is too absurd to work in a joke, or is there no such thing as too much absurdity?
You know what? There's no such thing as too much anything if people are receiving it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The audience will tell you. Mm-hmm. You know, but as far as me doing it, I'd like to be more absurd. You know what I mean? I'd like to be more abstract. That is my sense of humor more so off stage anyway, you know. So that's the thing, I'm trying to bring that more to the stage.
You know, I hate, man, when people have like big vicious dog and they tell you the dog don't bite, always be, you know, they always give you these but a million different conditions. Now the dog don't bite. Unless your heart rate rise above 120. The dog don't like that. The dog ain't gonna bite unless you make eye contact with the dog. The dog ain't gonna bite unless you start making the argument that Sonny Rollins was a better saxophone player than John Coltrane. Even with John Coltrane's advanced melodics and harmonics and improvisational skill, the dog don't like that.
When I first started, I did more conceptual things that I'm doing now, but I'm trying to get back to that because I love doing that.
Mm-hmm. You worked as a writer on W. Kamau Bell's Political Talk and variety show totally biased with W. Kamau Bell, and you won an Emmy Award last year, 2019, as a producer for Bell's new show, United Shades of America. Belated congratulations on that.
Thanks, man. Thank you.
Is there something you can point to as your proudest accomplishment that you working on these shows with Kamau?
Well, with United Shades, it would probably be the Emmy, which I'm going to tell you something, Doug. I was more excited than I thought I would be when it happened. You know, I just thought, you know. But I didn't go to the Emmy Awards show. That's a whole nother story. But I was in New York the night that they had the Emmys, and I was there with my girlfriend and a friend of hers. And we were talking, and then later that night, I was on the subway back home going uptown, and I got a text from one of the producers, and he didn't say something. He said, but it was inferring that we had won. Mm-hmm. And then I got another text, congratulate, man. I go, oh, man, I must have won. I was on the subway heading uptown, like, man, I think I won an Emmy. And then I just turned to some random woman on the train and said, you know what? I think I won an Emmy. Oh, congratulations. And I was charged, man. And I was more charged than I thought I would be. But totally biased now. That was a show I love, man. I got to write on the show and also perform on the show, which was to Kamau's credit, because he had a number of stand-ups on the show, and he told everybody who was a stand-up that you are obligated to create something on this show for yourself to perform. So not only are you a writer on this show, you're also a performer. So he was very generous in that regard. Yeah.
Do you have a favorite bit, a favorite performance from Totally Biased?
Oh man, there's a number of them. When I did Frederick Douglass, I like that. These are the stand-up pieces. And then I did a field piece I loved. I did about, I went down to Richmond, Kentucky to cover Civil War reenactors. And I was a Civil War reenactor. I was a Confederate Civil War reenactor.
Yeah. I'm going to be honest with you, Steve. If I was a slave and they asked me to fight to maintain my own slavedom, they hand me a gun, first person I'm shooting is the cat that handed me the gun. I'm going to be honest with you on that.
I don't blame you.
You know what I mean? And then I'm going around to shoot everybody else who I can find.
Well, you only got one shot during that rifle.
So. Oh, then I got to
Then you got to reload.
Right. So. And that might take me 3 or 4 weeks. Wait a minute. Come on.
Do you think working on these shows has influenced your stand-up in some way? In any way?
Yeah.
How so?
Absolutely. Just making me more conscious and cognizant of, you know, what's going on in the world and all the various types of folks in the world, you know? Just put me in contact with so many different types of people. That informs you however much consciously or even subconsciously.
Do you have a dream project, something that you've always wanted to do that you're still hoping to do?
I'd like to write a book. I keep saying that, but that takes discipline and consistency, so I'm working on that. I'd like to write a movie. I would like to do a stand-up special. Those are some things I'd like to do.
We're going to hold you to that because we look forward to that. We need the smart comedy of Dwayne Kennedy. Dwayne Kennedy, thank you very much.
Hey, thanks for having me, man.
Dwayne Kennedy is a comedian, actor, and writer. His debut full-length comedy album is called Who the Hell is Dwayne Kennedy? You can find out just who the hell he is at WPR.org/beta.
They are movies that make you feel good, I believe, or even sometimes transcendent, because they do speak of joy and hope, absolutely. But also, they do deal with the challenges and dark sides of living in the world that we're in.
Author Susan Napier on one of the greatest living animators, Hayao Miyazaki, and his fantastical magical movies. That's coming up next. I'm Doug Gordon. You're listening to Beta from Wisconsin Public Radio.